Disseminated intravascular coagulation, or DIC, describes a situation in which the process of hemostasis, which is when, after blood vessel wall injury, liquid blood rapidly becomes a gel, called coagulation, or clotting, starts to run out of control. When this happens, lots and lots of blood clots start to form in blood vessels serving various organs, leading to organ ischemia. DIC, though, is also called consumption coagulopathy, because all this clotting consumes platelets and clotting factors. Without enough platelets circulating in the blood, other parts of the body start to bleed, with even the slightest damage to the blood vessel walls. So paradoxically, patients have too much and too little clotting. Normally, after a cut and damage to the endothelium, or the inner lining of blood vessel walls, there's an immediate vasoconstriction or narrowing of the blood vessel, which limits the amount of blood flow. After that, some platelets adhere to the damaged vessel wall and become activated, and then recruit additional platelets to form a plug. The formation of the platelet plug is called primary hemostasis. After that, the coagulation cascade is activated. First off, in the blood, there's a set of clotting factors, most of which are proteins synthesized by the liver, and usually these are inactive and just floating around in the blood. The coagulation cascade starts when one of these proteins gets proteolytically cleaved. This active protein then proteolytically cleaves and activates the next clotting factor, and so on. This cascade has a huge degree of amplification and takes only a few minutes from injury to clot formation. The final step is activation of the protein fibrinogen to fibrin, which deposits and polymerizes to form a mesh around the platelets. So these steps leading up to fibrin reinforcement of the platelet plug make up the process called secondary hemostasis and results in a hard clot at the site of the injury. Now, as soon as that clot's formed, the body's also initiating pathways to break down the clot so that it doesn't get bigger than it needs to be and dissolves when it's not needed anymore, a process called fibrinolysis. And this process produces fibrin degradation products. Normally, the formation of new clots and the process of fibrinolysis are in a steady balance. Now, in serious medical conditions, like for example sepsis, malignancy, serious trauma, obstetric complications, or intravascular hemolysis, like you might see with blood type incompatibility, there can be a release of a procoagulant that tips the scales in favor of clot formation. Procoagulants could be proteins, like tissue factor, or bacterial components, like lipopolysaccharide. Or it could even be the presence of enzymes that help to proteolytically cleave and activate clotting factors. Whatever the cause is, in response, the coagulation pathway goes into overdrive, resulting in widespread clot formation, which plugs up medium and small blood vessels, which leads to ischemia, necrosis, and eventually organ damage. The kidneys, liver, lungs, and brain are particularly susceptible. The massive formation of clots throughout the body depletes the supply of platelets and clotting factors. To make things worse, as those clots are broken down through fibrinolysis, fibrin degradation products are released into the circulation, and these interfere with platelet aggregation and clot formation, making hemostasis even more difficult. And the result is this paradox, right? On one side, you have thrombosis, which is when clots obstruct the vessel. And at the same time, you have trouble forming new clots, which leads to bleeding. Laboratory findings in disseminated intravascular coagulation include decreased platelets and decreased fibrinogen. There's also a prolonged prothrombin time, or PT, as well as prolonged partial thromboplastin time, or PTT. Both of which reflect having lower levels of circulating coagulation factors. In addition to lower levels of specific clotting factors, there are elevated levels of D-dimer, which is a fibrin degradation product that's produced when fibrin clots are broken down. Now, it's worth mentioning that in some cases, disseminated intravascular coagulation can be a more chronic process, like in individuals with certain solid tumors and large aortic aneurysms. And in those situations, there might be physiologic compensation, which makes the lab results look relatively normal. In either acute or chronic DIC, the treatment focuses on treating the underlying cause, because that's what drives the activation of the coagulation cascade. In addition, the goals are to support the various organs using measures like ventilator support, hemodynamic support, and transfusions if they're needed. All right, as a quick recap, DIC happens when the balance between forming new clots and breaking down clots is tipped in favor of clots, which leads to widespread clotting and organ ischemia, while at the same time depletes clotting factors, paradoxically leading to bleeding,